Introduce us, would you?
I mean, if I have to. All right, guys. I'm Mike Sanders from S3 Magazine, the guy rudely drinking there when we're supposed to be doing our introduction. That's Jonathan Woolley. Caught him off guard a little bit. Look at the stupid look on his face. Anyway, welcome back to the S3 Magazine podcast. We're kind of doing one of our week-end review type things. So we're going to go over all the cool and fun and disturbing topics that we went over throughout the entire week. So hit it, Woolley. Let's see what we got.
Damn it. I hate it when you do that. I hate it when you just throw me into the deep end here. I never know where to start. I was going to start by giving a shout out to one of our sponsors this time. It's Can Cut Drill Bits. Now, it looks like it's K-N Cut, but you pronounce that Can Cut, and I verified it because I know the owner. Anyway, they're like high-end, top-shelf drill bits. If you work on cars for a living, you understand the value of having something like that. If you don't, and you're just a shade tree garage mechanic like we are, you probably think that your, you know, DeWalt bits are just fine or whatever. But like, trust me, if you were to get these things, and they are high end, you'll spend a few hundred bucks on them. But damn, do they work. And like, if there's ever a situation, if you're using a drill bit on a car, you're usually already a little stressed or frazzled. In a lot of situations, you're doing something you shouldn't have been doing, or you're getting yourself in over your head or something like that. And the last thing you want is for cheap drill bits to slip, slide, break, anything like that. And so I have a set of them, and I've used them on various projects over the past, 2 years, year and a half, something like that. And they're killer. So like I said, they're kind of pricey, whatever. Tell your loved one to get them for you for your birthday, Father's Day, whatever. These guys are cool as crap. As a matter of fact, they told us, they sponsor what we do in the articles and stuff. But he like specifically said, man, I don't want to do anything corny. Like, you don't have to like mention me on a podcast or anything. Like, we just like what you guys do, and you guys are cool, and you guys foster car culture. And if car culture is healthy, then we're healthy. And that's awesome in and of itself. So we're not going to listen to what he said, and we're giving him a shout out here. Can Cut, which is spelled K-N Cut. So it's K-N-K-U-T. Go check them out. They're awesome. Rad guys. True enthusiasts. Anyway, you threw me right in the deep end. Where should we start? Oh, let's start with what?
You go ahead.
I was going to start with the Tesla chargers, because that's kind of an ongoing thing. Okay, yeah. So Rivian is now switching over to the Tesla NACS, North American Charging Standard. For some reason, I always want to say it's the North American Standard Charger, which is wrong.
First of all, can we briefly talk about how brilliant of a name that is? To call it the North American Charging Standard, because he's calling it what he wants it to actually be in an ideal situation. And that's actually what it's becoming. So it's kind of an amazing, it's kind of like one of those things whenever somebody just Googles, they name their company what they want to be Googled as, not like Sanders Automotive. It would just be like, you know, we change tires and do oil changes LLC or something like that. So it's just a really smart way to do it, even though it's corny and sounds kind of dumb. But yeah, anyway.
So it is such an arrogant businessman thing to do. Smart, yes, but I have a friend, and he's more of my dad's friend. So he's like that generation. And you know, he's been CEOs, VPs, he's bought and sold companies. I don't want to give this away. Well, let's just pretend it was a dog food company. Yeah. So he owns a dog food company, and then he makes an LLC that is like the North American United Pet Health Association or whatever, makes up a bunch of words like that, you know, about pet health. And then he makes his brand of dog food rated number one by the United North American Pet, and then puts the stamp on all the bags of dog food and cat food or whatever it is. You know what I mean? And it's a total bullshit company. It doesn't exist. It's just an LLC that he bought to make it official, and then he rated his own brand number one. That's what I feel about Tesla's NA. What is it? Would you tell me for the last freaking time? It's the NASC?
NACS, North American Charging Standard, is a brilliant lie that your friend, that your dad's friend did.
Yeah. So anyway, if you don't know anything about EVs, like Tesla uses their charger and everybody else was using a CCS or whatever the other charger was. I didn't care about any of this stuff until it started making the news. So it's kind of like Apple and Android. Think of it like that. Well, now, last month, at the very end of last month, Ford announced that they were going to start using the Tesla connectors, which allows them to use the Tesla superchargers. Now, Tesla wasn't doing that out of the kindness of their hearts. They're doing that because that opens up, that opens them up to a buttload of government funding for, because, you know, there's billions of dollars to build out the infrastructure for the EV thing. So that gets them some of that money. And then at the beginning of this month, GM said, well, we're going to do it too. We're switching over to the Tesla connectors. And then, you know, this week, 2 weeks later, Rivian said, we're going to do it too. There's word that Genesis, Hyundai, Kia are thinking about it. Stellantis is kind of on the fence. Elon Musk is trying to get Toyota in on this for their incoming EVs. So this has actually become the standard, and it's done it in very fast time.
Well, I mean, that's what happens when you make a superior product in an emerging market that no one else really seems to have a handle on when it comes to the technology side of it yet. He is the only game in town. Like, yes, others exist, but he's the only one that's really even gotten close to mastering this whole charging thing. What's crazy is it is going to be game, set, match. He's going to get all of them to convert over. There might be one or two holdouts. It'll end up biting them in the ass. They'll end up having a lot of problems with those Electrify America units and stuff like that. And then they'll eventually, you know, either something better will be made or else they're going to go and, you know, jump on board with the Tesla superchargers as well. That's kind of my prediction. But yeah, I mean, he's about to win it all. And we talk about, you know, who's going to win the EV race and who's going to be the first person to make a true amazing EV pickup truck. All that stuff pales in comparison to what Tesla is in the process of accomplishing right now. Just think about this. If he gets this, he's going to become the largest energy distributor in at least the U.S., probably the world. Yes, he's not making the electricity, but he becomes the means as to which you receive it everywhere, except for your home. Well, even your own home, because you're still using his plug-in. So, yeah, man, it's crazy. It's crazy, crazy, crazy how much money the richest man in the world is going to be set up to make here in this whole process. Well, his plan. That's why his cars are so boring, because he's going to dump all of his time, money, effort, and resources into building these damn chargers and putting them everywhere.
Yeah, and because he got a lead on this stuff, now he's doing it with government money. And that's the crazy thing is that it's game on. He's going to, a few months ago, we're sitting here laughing at like, how the hell are they going to build out the infrastructure by 2030 or whatever they're trying to do? I mean, this is how you do it. You take the guy that had the leg up anyway, and now, you know, the United States government is just funneling him money as if he needs it to build out the infrastructure for this stuff. Do you think it's dangerous to have essentially one man control everybody's transportation?
It's not one man, though. That's a weird way of looking at it. Is he the richest man in the world, and is he the face of Tesla? Yes, but that company, believe it or not, is more than just Elon Musk. It really is.
Yeah, I say one man, I mean, I think for people, you don't separate Elon Musk from Tesla, even though, yes, it's different. What I'm saying is, Tesla as a company controls the transportation. It would be like BP or Shell or Exxon Oil controlling 90% of all gas stations. Like, what kind of leverage does that give one company? It's a monopoly.
Basically, there will be other chargers out there, but they're not going to be very many of them, and they're going to be few and far between, and nobody's going to want to use them, to be honest. Yeah, it's going to be a little bit of a strange situation. This is going to be a monopoly, but if you guys are really going to push this EV shit down our throat and you're really going to force it into industry and you're going to make it replace the industry that already runs really, really well, you have to have some standardization. Tesla is offering the only true, reliable standardization that's available right now. So you have to give it to them. And you're right. It's handing over the keys to the absolute kingdom to Elon Musk and Tesla, because not only is the government just going to be printing money to give to him so that he can go build the infrastructure for them, because they certainly can't do it on their own, but now he's going to be making money the exact same way he did with PayPal, just taking a couple cents off of every single transaction. And it's going to be just millions and billions of transactions just constantly coming through and that money just raking in. That guy's going to end up being bald with a little top hat and the eyepiece. He's going to look like the Monopoly Man in no time.
That's what I mean, dude. I feel like this is it could be a dangerous situation. It's definitely uncharted. We've never had, you know, one company with that much leverage over every EV owner's transportation, leverage over Ford, leverage over GM, leverage over all the other car manufacturers that start falling into this. But like you said, now's not the time to ask that question, is this bad? Like, the time to ask that question is when our administration was force fucking EVs into the market. Like, we should be letting this grow naturally. It's not growing naturally. It's been put on steroids. We should be letting internal combustion and hydrogen and EV and all of this compete, yet we've decided it's going to be EV. So this is the bed we made. And I'm really glad that I can turn a wrench, because I don't have to sleep in it. There's a lot of people that have to sleep in this bed. And hell, it might work out. It might be great. I just don't know who at this point can challenge it. Who can come after him? Aside from maybe, and I'm just saying this off the cuff, I haven't done the research, the oil companies. Oil companies have enough money to go, all right, we're going to, you know, add to every gas station that we have or whatever. But are they going to do it? I mean, is it going to be too late by the time they decide to do it?
I mean, it would be really smart for them to do it, but I don't know if you've done a lot of driving around America lately, but Tesla charging stations are starting to pop up at gas stations now. They're everywhere. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, I guess if you're a Shell or a BP or something like that or whatever, and you wanted to get into the game, step one, you need to go hire somebody, a high up engineer who had a lot to do with this from Tesla. Okay.
Right.
You need to figure out how they can make one that's as good or better for you, and then you have to actually make it and then mass produce it and put it in all stations. Good luck.
Yeah, and you know, I mean, I know it's hard for somebody like me to imagine the scale of the future, but it just seems so weird to me, because we're talking about building an infrastructure that can support what's kind of here now, but like, think about what a gas station or a charging station, excuse me, is going to look like along the highways if 80% of people are in electric vehicles. They would have to be, I mean, you look at a Buc-ee's, right? Like, certainly most of us have been to Buc-ee's by now. Hundreds of pumps and they're all full. You know what I mean? They're all full because assholes have gone inside and they're trying to find their kids. And like, usually they're not at the pumps, but they've left their car at the pump. What is it going to be like when cars take 20 minutes to charge? Let's just call it whatever, 20 minutes for argument's sake. Like, if 80% of the population, if 80% of that highway interstate traffic is got to stop every 100, and that's the other thing. If you got 300 mile range, you don't when you're on the interstate consistently running 80. So every 150 miles, and honestly, sooner than that, you're probably going to be looking for a charging station that's going to take you 20 minutes. Now, I know the technology will get better, but with that many cars sitting for 20 minutes versus the 4 minutes it takes to fuel up a car, like, these things are going to have to be expansive, huge, and they're going to have to be frequent, you know? Like, I just, man, this, and the crazy thing is, as they build the infrastructure, it's automatically not going to be enough, because as the infrastructure starts to fill in, people are going to go, hey, this EV thing could work for me. I'm going to get one. So all of a sudden, you're going to get more and more people getting them. And then the lines at the Tesla superchargers, I'm sure if I owned a Tesla, I'd already be pissed because you had this cool little cult, you know, like you had the best chargers. You usually didn't have a wait unless there was something weird going on in the world. And now there's going to be Mach-E's. There's going to be Hummer EVs sucking up all the juice. There's going to be, you know, like Rivians. Everybody's going to be at your station. And if you pull up, like, how pissed do you get when you pull up to a gas station and, like, there's not an available pump? You're mad, and it takes, like, 4 minutes of sitting there. You know what I mean? Like, imagine being like, oh, there's two cars in front of me, and they're each going to take at least 20 minutes, you know?
Yeah.
And not to get too far off topic, but the other thing with EVs, if you guys are internal combustion fans and you don't really know that much, like, they charge to 80%, but then they kind of go to a slower trickle type of charge so they don't overheat everything because it stresses the hell out of the battery. So if you are doing longer distance travel, interstate travel, you can't charge to 100%. So your 300 mile range ain't, it's like 240 unless you want to sit there for a lot longer. And then you're actually using about 2 miles of range for every 1 mile you're going. So you're sucking that down, man. It's every 120, 30 miles or so you're going to be sweating a charger.
Yeah, but I mean, and this has kind of been proven, like EVs are a good idea for certain people in certain circumstances. We know that there are certain things that it is really not good for, at least yet. Hauling things, they're not good trucks because they can't handle the weight. It kills the range immediately and they're already too heavy to begin with. And road trips, that part of that whole thing is just not figured out yet. So everybody with an EV, if you're thinking about doing a road trip, you want to go down to Florida, go to Disney World, whatever, just rent a car. Go rent yourself a minivan with a nice little V6 in it and TVs in the back and do it that way. It's just easier.
Yeah. Well, that's my problem with the way that our leaders are thinking right now, our current administration and a lot of other influential people, investors, like we talked about with Toyota and all this kind of stuff, is like, you're absolutely right. An EV works really well, I think, for a lot of people. It works great for your daily commute. It works great for consistent local traveling and stuff like that. We don't have to go 100%. Like, if we can get half the people out of whatever we're calling gas guzzling internal combustions and get them into electric cars for their daily life, that's a 50% improvement. That is a victory. But for some reason, it's in our administration's minds that no, it's not a victory until it's 100%. And that's just not, that's not logical. It's not clear, logical thinking from our leaders. We need to acknowledge that EVs are here. They are probably the future, at least in some point, you know, but it doesn't mean that they're everybody's future. America, it's very unique. Everybody goes, well, in Europe, they blah, blah, blah. Europe's not America. Europe's great, but like, it's not America. We got a lot of land, you know, and what we have are the people on the coastal cities trying to dictate what everybody's got to do. And they do not understand the lives of the people in Kansas. You know, they just don't. So whatever, we kind of got off topic of at least the news story. The news story is that Rivian, Tesla's kind of biggest little rival or whatever, you know, as far as the startups, is now joining Tesla. Who will it be next week? It'll be somebody within the next couple of weeks, I guarantee you.
I'm gonna call Stellantis. I think it'll be Stellantis. Those guys, they seem like the next domino to fall. That's just my guess.
I'm gonna call Korea, like Kia, Genesis, Hyundai, because They're on top of the EV thing anyway, and I think it's pretty clear, you know, that from what I hear, the only experience I have is with press cars, and I've had perfectly good experiences with Electrify America, but I see EV owners complain about those. They don't work, you know, they're junk. It's apparently a bad experience, and apparently the Tesla superchargers are just euphoria, so...
Yeah. Now that's another thing, just to jump back on that. I wonder how much of that is user error because of the clientele. Now, Tesla owners are very God, how do I say this? I don't know. Nerdy for Teslas. Let's leave it. They're very nerdy for Teslas. They're the ones that are going to sit there and read every step of their manual. They're going to know everything about it, the programming, the screen. They love their little applications and stuff, right? So those are the people who probably really make sure to charge properly, and they take care of the equipment, and they're not just slamming it in there and pulling it out. Well, what happens when you get Hobo Joe and his new Mach-E going over there trying to use a Tesla supercharger? I'm just wondering, you know? We'll see.
Yeah. In another news story that we didn't really tackle with S3, there was a Rivian that burned down. I think it was an Electrify America charging station. Now, it didn't, like, colossally burn to the ground because it didn't catch the battery, but the fire was at the charging port. And I saw a lot of Tesla owners and EV owners were saying, man, you've got to check the plugs, especially at the Electrify Americas, you know, and stuff, and the CCS or whatever they call the rival plug to the Tesla plug. But yeah, they were saying because people just jam those fuckers in there, you know, and I mean, they get used a lot, and there's not like there's a training course, you know what I mean? Like, a gas pump can handle a lot of abuse. It's not electronic. So like, these people are cramming those things in there, and with the amount of voltage that is, if something's crossed over, not working right, I don't know how it all goes, but if something ain't right, it can be bad. And when they catch fire fast.
Oh yeah.
So all right, I guess that's all we got to say about that one. Certainly interesting. Also in the news, I mean, Toyota's at it again. We can go through the Toyota. I love the fact that Toyota, dude, they're just flexing like their GR muscle right now. And it's so great. And we are in a golden era for sports cars. The problem is the golden era is just one brand, and it's Toyota. Like, this is ridiculous. But like, when you look at the Toyota models that are out now, I mean, in 25, 30 years, we're going to be going nuts for these things. We're going to be looking back at this era right now, because this is it. This is happening. And I know we all have our complaints, you know, that the 8.6 has a Subaru motor, or that the Supras are BMW. Fine. It's not an ideal situation, but like, still, Toyota is just killing it, and they're bringing it, and they're doing it consistently and relentlessly with the sports cars for the driving enthusiasts. And they're the only ones, I mean, feel free to correct me if I'm wrong, who else is flying the enthusiast flag? I mean, some people will definitely go, well, Porsche still makes it, the GT3 RS. All right, to me, Porsche's kind of died when they stopped just building sports cars. You know, like, they're answering to investors, they're building SUVs, they're building cars for people that don't care about cars, but that care about status. So as far as I'm concerned, not the same. Although I obviously, you know, 911s are a hell of a car. But anyway, so Toyota announced basically three things as part of like this GR kind of reveal for 2024. So my personal favorite is the GR86. They're making a Trueno edition. It's freaking cool, man. And I don't know why. I mean, for the most part, it's stickers. You know what I mean? For the most part, what I love is they put the little Trueno badge on the front lip. They put it on the rear deck lid. Like, it's got a shift knob with like this kind of brushed aluminum, you know, it says Trueno. It's very retro. It's very cool. It makes me feel a certain kind of way. It gets me nostalgic, and I love it. Power wise, it's the same. There's nothing there, you know, but it does have Brembos, and it does have better shocks, better suspension. But that same Brembos and upgraded shocks will be available on a regular model 8.6 as well. So it's just new for 2024, and it's standard if you get the Trueno edition. I'm trying to think. I think they said, I'm opening up the article on our site right now to get numbers. 860 of these will come to the U.S. Half will be white, half will be red. And I think I can throw a picture up if you're watching the video and not just listening to the podcast, but you know, essentially the white one, it's got like a panda look to it, like the old 88.6. Black hood, some black stripe down low on the sides. It is slick, and I love it. Let me see. Do you want to take, do you even know, am I more up to date on this stuff than you are?
I saw them, and I've read about them very, very briefly. I don't want to mess up, so you talk about them.
All right, GR Corolla. I'll talk about the cars. You can tell, you know, whatever your feelings on them. The GR Corolla, it's not a special edition, but they're bringing the blue flame. That's the blue color that maybe you've seen on the regular Corolla hatchbacks. It's sick. It's kind of Ford Focus RS-ish blue. But it was so desperately needed from the get-go, and I don't know why they didn't do it. Like, these cars, a GR Corolla has got to pop, man. It has got to be rowdy. I'm so tired of grays, dude.
Yeah, I don't know why, but every single GR Corolla I've seen in pictures and in real life, they're all freaking gray with black wheels. Why is that?
It's like gray, white, or an ugly red.
Reminds me of what Wagon was doing with the GTI for all those years. Why?
See, look, man, call me old, but back in the day, like, I'm a child of the 80s and 90s, and cars popped. You know, like, we were not scared of color. It was just the way it was. And then sometime around 2005, everybody figured out that gray was cool. And gray is cool, but not on all cars all the time. Like, there was a mark. Look, remember when the Evos came to the U.S.? It was, like, yellow, bright blue, red. And then when, like, the Evo 9 came, it was, like, gray. They're all gray. And it's been gray since 2005. Can we please have a renaissance? Like, I do not understand this communist color palette. So I am thrilled that they're bringing blue flame, and I wish they bring some other stuff too. I mean, Jesus, the whole point of a little rowdy hot hatch like that is to get your blood pumping. So it's not going to get pumping with gray. Like, that's just... it's not why you buy a rowdy hot hatch. You buy a rowdy hot hatch to go against conformity, not to conform. It's dumb. If you're worried about how you look driving the office in your GR Corolla, don't buy a GR Corolla. It's not the car for you. So it's awesome. It looks sick. Check it out on our website. Last but not least, the Supra, the GR Supra. They are making a 45th anniversary. Honestly, out of the three, this is the one I cared the least about. I don't know why. It's basically just an orange color. They kind of made a little hint that it was a nod to the Buster, you know, like the first Fast and Furious. But the orange is different. Essentially, it's a pretty shade of orange. It has a manual adjustable wing on the back, which is cool. Not knocking it. It's got some black wheels, a little black stripe down the side, and some black brake calipers that say GR on it, and strut brakes. And that's that. 45th anniversary. But it's a pretty color. It is definitely a killer color. And it will be available in automatic, manual. Same with the Trueno. I don't know why they're doing these in automatics. I mean, as somebody that buys an automatic 8.6 doesn't care about it being a limited edition. Anyway, whatever. They're doing that. And for the Supra, I think it was 900. Let me double check that. Give me one second. Yes, 900 are US bound. And half of those are going to be that orange color that I was telling you about. It's like Mikan, M-I-K-A-N, which means orange in Japanese. I think they call it Mikan Blast. And then the other 450 will be Absolute Zero, which is white.
Yeah. But the cool thing is that these cars are race inspired. Why? Because Akio Toyoda is the one who's heading up the GR division, and he's a big time racer. In fact, I saw an article just a little while ago where he basically said, I don't know if you know this, but you know Akio Toyoda is like 67 years old, right?
I had no idea.
Yeah, he's 67 years old. It's getting up there, all right? And he did an interview, and this was kind of cool. He said, I think I'll make a promise with you here. Next year, I don't know if it's going to be the 24-hour race like the VLN, which is the Nuremberg Endurance Series, but I will be participating in some kind of race at the Nürburgring next year. Now, I'm in a position where if I say this inside of my company and try to receive approval, it's going to be quite difficult. So I thought I'd use this opportunity in front of you, on record, in front of the reporters, so that you can get me the support in gaining that approval, which I thought was pretty hilarious. But it's that way of thinking. It's that I love race cars, and I just want to get on the racetrack, and I want to do race car stuff, hood rat shit with my friends. It's that type of thinking that keeps Toyota moving forward, making driver-oriented cars that we love, all right?
It's infectious, dude. Like, he's 67, which I knew he was older, retirement age or whatever. I can't tell. He's Asian. You can't tell how old he is. But he's played by the rules. You know what I mean? He's played by the rules for a good part of his career and his life, and he's done now. Like, that's what I love about his age. He's kind of like, I don't have anything to lose. I don't have anything to prove to you guys. I'm going to, at this point in my life, I'm good. So I'm going to fight for what I love, and that's driving, and that's sports cars, and that's the legacy of my family's car company, and that's what we're going to do here. And I don't care. I don't care, you know, what the stockholders say about me or any of that stuff. We're doing this because we're enthusiasts, you know, and I love that. It's infectious. It makes me want to go out and buy a Toyota. I do like the Toyotas, but it also makes me want to support that mindset. I would buy a Tundra over any other pickup truck because of what he's doing with the GR stuff. You know what I mean? Like, it's creating a sense of brand loyalty. And there's really not brand loyalty. If you're super loyal to a brand, like, we all see people, oh, I'm a BMW guy. Like, you're full of shit. Like, all these car companies, they're not loyal to you. That's for goddamn sure. The only loyal car company to the enthusiasts is Toyota. So why are you being loyal to anybody else? What? They're not even the companies that they started out being. They're not owned by the same people. They're all owned by each other. They're run by shareholders. They're all making bullshit. Like, there's not a reason to be a fan. And I say that with a heavy heart. There's not a reason to be a fan of modern day Porsche. There's every reason to be a fan of this Porsche. They built sports cars for people that like sports cars. They didn't build anything else. If you wanted a family car, fuck you, go buy a Mercedes. Like, that's not what we do. You know, drive your wife's car. But if you want a sports car, we make sports cars. Like, that's what I love. Obviously, that's not going to fly for Toyota. They need to make cars for everybody. But he's so forthcoming about where their heart is, and that's in driving and the passion for driving and everything that they make, dude. Even the you know, the 4x4s, the Tacomas, the Sequoias, all that kind of stuff, it's all got spirit, dude. It really does. Yeah. We gotta get Toyota as a sponsor, damn it. We keep saying all this stuff, but we mean it, man. We really do. So that's the news this week from Toyota. Like, they are out there fighting the good fight. They really are, and they're the only ones doing it for us. So if you're a car enthusiast, I'm not saying you have to go buy a Toyota, but damn it, appreciate Toyota, because this is not an easy battle for them right now whatsoever.
Yeah. Another car brand you got to appreciate too. Did you see the new Nissan video that came out?
Oh, the Nismo?
The Nismo, yeah. Teasing it for next year. Apparently it was a video with a drift champion Chris Forsberg out there hooning around and just drifting all over the place, destroying tires. They didn't come out with any specs on it. The car looks sick, but they're teasing the fact that it might be cranked up to 500 horsepower from the factory.
Ooh, doggy.
Be pretty killer in that car. Yeah.
Yeah. Can I just get a T-tops? Damn it. I will give you back 150 horsepower if I can have T-tops. Like, for real, that no car needs T-tops more than that car right now.
The Supra needs a Targa. The Supra needs a Targa, and the Z needs T-tops real bad.
Yeah. I like the Supra a lot, but I do not like how claustrophobic it is. That, you know, like, when I was younger, I wouldn't have cared. But, like, as you really start to realize what you like about driving, for me, it is being connected to the elements in the road. You know what I mean? Like, man, I like driving my 944 almost as much as my 911. I hate to say that, but as much as my 911. And I think a big factor of that is bigger windows, and the sunroof is bigger, and it comes all the way out. You can put it in the back. You can leave it at home. And it just makes the driving experience better. I love my 911. Don't get me wrong. There's nothing like it. There's nothing like the sounds, you know, like seeing the little headlights over the front. Like, it's a great car. But in the summer, it's hot. It doesn't have – it's got the little, you know, triangular windows in the front. They don't vent. There's not a lot of window area there. And it's just – it gets hot. And that just – I like to enjoy it. Anyway, I guess last up – is a story I wrote. I don't even like it, but you know, they liked it online. But apparently this Tesla driver, I'm trying to think of how to present this. Do you want to present this? Do you know anything about it, or do you want me to kind of set the stage here?
You can set the stage. I just remember I ended up
All right. So what you have is a couple of trucks, you know, that were rolling coal. Really, it's just one truck, but there were a couple of trucks. Roll call on a Tesla. Tesla driver cried about it and made a post. And Tesla Roddy picked up on the story. It must have been a slow news day. And I'm not knocking on Tesla Roddy, but they kind of picked up. Basically, the weenie and dude, what we got here is a classic battle between assholes and weenies. And none of them are right. You know what I mean? But it just makes it a funny story because everybody was being stereotypical to what they were driving. So the Tesla driver gets on Twitter and just starts bitching. I just got blockaded by these three assholes in diesel trucks, and they rolled coal on me. This had never happened to him, apparently. I guess he doesn't live in the South. It happens all the time. But he was like, you know, Tesla needs to put the HEPA or whatever it is, air filtration in the Model 3 because this car needs better filtration. The fumes are in the car, you know, and it's like, geez, dude, okay. So Tesla Roddy picked up on the story to talk about the air filtration system and how it wasn't as good in the Model 3 as in the Model Y. It's cheaper, you know, but like they brought up the story. And so that kind of made everything spark. And of course, on Tesla Roddy, you're going to have these EV wieners, you know, in the comments section that just will absolutely surprise you with their comments. Before I get to their comments, let's talk about what really happened. The Tesla guy thought, I guess, because he was in a Tesla that these diesel trucks were bullying him. Maybe they were. But I looked at the video. It's on our site. And the trucks were three wide across three lanes of an interstate, right? And the one in the left lane was slightly ahead. And the window looked like it was down, which immediately tells me these little fuck boys are making TikToks or doing Instagram pictures or something, like, because we've all seen them, you know, like all the car dudes do this. They line up. It was golden hour. It was sunset. I honestly don't think this had shit to do with the Tesla behind them. I don't think they were even aware that this little weenie was behind them in a Tesla. And then the weenie in the Tesla gets behind the truck with the black soot all over the tailgate. Which just goes to show you he knows absolutely dick about cars. And then so, you know, after a couple seconds of them hovering at 55 miles an hour, they take off. And the one he's behind, yeah, covers the Tesla in smoke. Point is, I mean, rolling coal is a douchebag move. Like, nobody's defending that. But, like, damn, do you have to be such a vag about it? But what really got me was the comments. The comments on Tesla Roddy. I mean, these people are off the chain. One person said, we need to put the EPA in patrol cars to stop this kind of behavior. Another person said that these trucks should be seized and destroyed. It's like, what are we doing? Like, what? I just don't. So we're taking people's property now. We're proposing, super liberal, I'm guessing, Tesla EV drivers are proposing that we seize people's property and destroy it based on what we deem as being ethically or environmentally sound? Like, what point are we at here?
We're living in strange times now. You know this. You do something that people don't like and is all of a sudden no longer socially acceptable, and the mob comes for you. That's just what it is right now. And the automotive industry, and especially the automotive aftermarket industry, is very much under attack, big time, by people who have this type of view and therefore this type of agenda. Yeah, man, it's no secret at all. They want car racing and big trucks and everything that's not what they like. They want it all to go away because it inconveniences them. It's dangerous and it's loud and it's bad for the environment and it's scary and they just don't like it. And because they don't like it, they want it to go away. It's just what it is.
Yeah, and rolling coal is a dick move, man. It is, you know, and you're leaving horsepower on the table. And I was listening to a podcast on the Smoking Tire podcast with the president of SEMA, and they were talking about the same thing. They were like, and I'm taking the coal rollers out of it because that's kind of on the edge of the spectrum of stupid. But then a lot of us live kind of in this middle of the spectrum of stupid to where we're really not hurting the environment, but what we're doing is it's vibrant, right? It's conspicuous. It is poster boy for, like, you know, internal combustion or whatever is what we're doing. And it's crazy because these people, and literally the EPA is attacking car culture. But why? Is it just because it's high profile? Because it is not the majority. It is not the core of the problem by any means here. And that's what they're saying on the podcast is, like, dude, you can add intakes and exhaust and this stuff, and you are not making the car any worse. In cases like we've mentioned before, you can tune a car to run cleaner, but the EPA does not even want to hear those facts. They are literally just attacking the mindset, the lifestyle, the passion, the hobby of car culture. It's just crazy. It's crazy that we're living in this time.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing is, you know, like, the truck guys are douchebags. The EV driver behind them's a weenie. But this is a free country. Like, we don't need your permission. You know what I mean? Like, it's just, man, it's getting weird out there. It really is. I don't know how much longer we're going to be allowed to enjoy our hobby in a free country. But at the same time, the coal rollers, that kind of thing, it's like, guys, what the fuck are you doing? We're under attack, and you are absolutely giving them the ammunition that they need. Can you not?
Yeah.
You know, if you're going to be a douchebag, like, be a 5 out of 10. Like, don't take it to 10. Jesus, man, you're not helping our cause.
Yeah, it's bad. I mean, you see it, dude. Racetracks are getting shut down right and left. The EPA is coming after shops that are doing certain modifications. You know, people who make tuning software and little handheld tuner devices and stuff like that, they're getting shut down right and left. Like, there's already a massive target painted on the automotive aftermarket industry's back. And people are just firing away at will as it is. When you do stupid stuff like that, it makes them just zero in even more. It gets more people amped up. Like, we are the new villains. We're the new villains, all because we enjoy cars. And yes, they're flashy and they're loud. But it's because they're awesome and they're badass. And it's what I love. So if you don't mind fucking off and let me do my thing, great.
Well, they're expressive. And what the progressives or whatever, you know, the people that are pushing this stuff, what they don't understand, and they can't understand because they don't care about cars. For us, it's art, right? It is a way that we express ourselves. It's rolling art. For us, these old cars are time machines. They put us back in our childhood. You know, they connect us. If you sit in a 32 Ford, you feel that era. You know what I mean? Like, if you sit in an 80s Trans Am, you feel that era. And when we build these cars, man, it's therapy for us. It's expression for us. It's art. So you guys are taking our art. You're outlawing our form of expression. I know you don't understand that, but see, we're in a free country. So, like, you don't have to understand it, but we don't have to ask your fucking permission either. It gets really dangerous waters, because we all want clean air. We're not you and me aren't sitting here fighting for the destruction of our planet. Like, that's not what we want to do here. But we need to use our brains and acknowledge, like, are we tackling the real sources of the problem here? Or are we kind of bullying some people that maybe we felt like bullied us in high school? Because that's kind of what it comes down to. You see somebody in a loud car, you go, no, no, small dick, let's get him. Let's use the internet to get this guy. We can get him back. He's like the guy that gave me a swirly in high school. No, I'm not. I'm not that guy. You know what I mean? Like, you're attacking, you're becoming the bully. You guys are becoming the bully. You need to watch what you're doing. We all want clean air, and we'll play within some rules. But we also live in a free country, so at some point, fuck off.
Yep. 100% agree.
All right. Okay. Well, I guess that's about it for...
No, I got one more. And I have not read the article yet, but it's funny because it popped up, because I haven't heard this guy's name in a couple of years now. Do you remember Carlos Ghosn? G-H-O-S-N. Ghosn.
Is he famous? Do I know him personally? What's the story?
You do not know him personally, no. This was the guy... We did a podcast on him a couple of years ago. You suck at this. You're terrible. You're a horrible host. Anyway, this is the president and CEO of Nissan. This is the guy that got in all that trouble for embezzling money. And I don't remember. It was like a whole laundry list of crazy stuff. But remember, he got put on house arrest, and he ended up like throwing a kid's birthday party at his house or something like that. And he escaped in one of the musician's amp boxes and like left the country.
Yeah.
You remember this guy?
Yeah.
He is back in the news again and is apparently suing Nissan for over $1 billion for that whole fiasco. He's basically saying it was all their fault. They did it.
Well, good luck to him.
Yeah.
I saw that news story somewhere, and I didn't open it. And I was just like, this guy, you know, like, yeah, I don't know. That's a ballsy move. You know, like, I hope it works out for him. If not, they're just going to go, hey, you're back. Handcuffs.
Yeah, because I do think I need to look into it more. Whatever I say from here on out could possibly be wrong, so don't hold me liable for it. But I do think he still has warrants out for his arrest in certain countries, like Japan. I know Japan for sure. I don't know where else. But yeah, like if he leaves, I think he's in Lebanon right now. Anyway, yeah, man, this guy is starting a whole world of shit again, apparently.
Well, yeah, that sucks. Seems to be like Nissan's kind of better off without him. Mm-hmm. At least they got the Z going for him. I don't know.
I know, right?
All right. Well, you got anything else?
No, that's it. That was my last curveball.
All right. I guess that's all I got. Anything else I think of, we'll save for next week.
Cool, man. Well, take us out.
Oh, I was going to get you to do that.
No, you got it.
Okay, well, thank you for listening thus far. If you don't have the S3 Magazine app, please, for fuck's sake, get the S3 Magazine app. It's free, and all these articles are on there, as well as you know, the stuff that you would have seen in the print version, the rad features and stuff like that. It's just that on the app, we can do a lot more news and current events because we don't have to wait to print it. We can do it while it's still hot, and we hit all this stuff with a very blatant enthusiast bias. We think that voice needs to be in the automotive industry right now, because it's really not. A lot of car enthusiasts and media companies are playing nice, and we just don't think that playing nice is how this fight's going to be won, if it's going to be won. So anyway, we also have a little merch store with some pretty sick license plate frames that say Still Hood that might resemble a Ferrari logo if you squint. And we got some cool hats for sure on the website and stuff like that. So if you want to grab one of those, it definitely helps us out. We appreciate you. We love you, and goodbye.
Have a good night, guys.